as we think about those good things, and we hold also those things that are difficult, let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. God of power and love, you are with us in every circumstance of this life. We thank you for your steadfast faithfulness. We thank you for the gift of your peace, which comes to us even in times of chaos and fear, trouble and doubt. We thank you for your powerful arms of mercy that grasp us when we are sinking. We put our trust in you, for you continually save us. We ask for your power and love to overwhelm the chaos of the nations. In every place of war, send your encompassing peace to restore and repair all that is torn and broken. We pray that violent and hostile struggles will be defeated by good. Give us faith and courage to follow Christ so closely that divisions are dismantled, reconciliation is accomplished, and love casts out all fear. O God, we entrust to your care all those who suffer, all who are hiding from you, from others, or even from themselves, because of fear or feelings of unworthiness. To those enduring persecution or prejudice, bring freedom. For those caught in the grip of anxiety and uncertainty, grant the calm rest that your peace gives. For all who face illness, we pray for restoration and wholeness to fill them in heart, mind, and body. Today we pray especially for Noreen, Donna, Grange, Pidgey, Kathy, Judy, John, Mary Margaret, Erica, Marilyn, Keith, Marlene, Roberta, Mervyn, Esther, Marilyn, Helga, Cindy, Greg, Keith, Beth, Paul, Crystal, and Martin. We trust in your promises, O God, to save us. Hear our cries to you, we pray. We ask all things in the name of Jesus the Christ, your Son and our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Today's gospel lesson picks up right where we left off last week. Jesus had fed a crowd of thousands with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then the scriptures say, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed. In Matthew's gospel, today's story follows directly after that miraculous feeding of the crowd. You might remember that last week I wondered about how Jesus and his disciples might have been tired from their ministry work of healing and teaching. I wondered how Jesus had tried to get away, but the crowds followed him. And now, immediately after the work of healing and feeding that great crowd was finished, Jesus puts the disciples on a boat, and he goes up on a mountain to pray. Jesus finally gets away to restore and to refresh himself. However, the disciples had no opportunity to rest. Today's story continues. When evening came, he was there alone, Jesus was alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. So instead of getting some rest, the disciples must navigate a storm on the sea. Now, many of those disciples, as we know, were fishermen. And so a storm on the sea was not outside of their ability to handle, but they were already tired. And now they have spent all night out on the sea, struggling against this difficult storm. And then, when early morning arrives and they see a figure coming towards them on the water, I imagine that they are bone tired and utterly exhausted, and their wits might not be fully about them. Basic neuroscience teaches us that when we are exhausted, overwhelmed, and stressed, our sympathetic nervous system gets activated. The sympathetic nervous system is that which directs the body's rapid, involuntary response to dangerous or stressful situations. These systems are useful in helping us to survive when we're faced with a physical threat to our lives, like, for example, encountering a bear in the wild. When we feel threatened, these systems prepare us to either fight the bear or flee from the bear or freeze and hope that everything's already dead. Those are all ways to protect life. Fighting, fleeing, freezing. I wonder if Peter and the other disciples in our story today might have been in this kind of heightened state. They had spent that long day ministering to the crowds, and then Jesus put them in the boat and sent them out to sea, and they were met with a great storm. And then in the wee hours of the morning, as they continue to navigate those stormy seas, this figure comes towards them walking on the water. When the disciples see him walking on the sea, they are terrified and they cry out, "It's a ghost." In the ancient world, people believed that bodies of water were ruled by chaotic forces. Waters often represented evil powers. And so the disciples mistake this figure on the water with a ghost, some sort of evil spirit, and they become terrified. The disciples panic when they see Jesus walking towards them, and they begin fearfully shouting, "It's a ghost, it's a ghost." They don't take any action towards the perceived threat or run away from it. They simply cry out in fear. Disciples' response reminds me of that moment in a horror film when a character comes face to face with the big scary thing and just stands there so solidly and just screams, "Ah!" They can't seem to move, they're frozen in place. But once Jesus identifies himself, Peter insists that Jesus invite him to join him in this miracle of walking on the water. Peter is eager to take action. He has this take charge attitude. His response reminds me of those people who jump in and take charge of a crisis. I think of those who run towards a problem or a threat and fight it by taking bold, decisive action. Peter jumps out of the boat, ready to walk on water. He's not one to sit back while feeling fearful. Peter and the rest of the disciples respond to this perceived threat, this figure moving towards them on the water, with very human reactions. These responses are not wrong. They are simply how we as humans respond when we experience a threat, whether it is real or imagined. And I wonder if these responses sound familiar to you. I wonder if you might feel fearful these days. There seem to be existential threats knocking on our door or lurking around the corner. Will our democracy survive the next election? Will food and gas and other basic essentials keep getting more expensive until we can't to survive? Will our neighbors continue to be taken off the streets and out of their homes to be sent away? Will those masked men come for us?
earth become uninhabitable due to human consumption and extraction. All that is overwhelming and exhausting in our world can cause us to be reactionary rather than thoughtfully engaged citizens. Our limbic system, that part of the brain which houses our emotions and our basic instincts, can take over, and we can become increasingly reactive rather than productive. Now remember, these responses are neither good or bad in and of themselves. They are simply how you respond to a threat. But if we want to return to a calmer state, we must work to re-engage the other parts of our brains, like that prefrontal cortex, where we do our more complex thinking and our discerned decision-making. And this shift requires attention to our thinking and to our eyes. Today's story gives us an example of how Jesus responded to the disciples when they were in a state of distress. The story may also give us insight into how Jesus responds to us when we are in such a state of fear and stress. As Jesus walks towards them on the stormy seas, the disciples cry out, "It's a ghost." And Jesus responds, "Take heart, it is I." In Greek, "it is I" is ego eimi, which are the same words used to translate that divine name, I am, from Hebrew into Greek. Jesus says, "Take heart, I am." Jesus proclaims to the disciples who he is. Jesus states clearly here that he is not a ghost, but in fact, he is one and the same as God. Jesus claims his identity as one with the Creator who moved over the waters at creation and tamed the chaos. And Jesus is able to do the same. He walks on water. He brings order to the chaotic, stormy seas. And then, immediately following this claiming of his identity, he says to the disciples, "Do not be afraid. There is nothing to fear." This is not simply a direction to the disciples to stop freaking out, but it is a clear statement by Jesus that he is in control, and that the disciples can calm down. They do not need to be fearful. Jesus is in control. And then, of course, Peter comes into the picture once again, and he calls out to Jesus and says, "If it is you, command me to come to you on the water." This action of Peter has been interpreted in many different ways. Some commend Peter for his bravery in stepping out of the boat, trying this scary thing of walking on stormy seas. Others condemn him for testing Jesus. I wonder, Peter's action, it's actually a fearful response, like that fight instinct. He's not going to fight Jesus, of course, but this instinct to jump into the waters and to do the thing that Jesus is doing is this active, confrontational response to the thing that's frightened him. It's a bit reckless, of course, to jump out of the boat into stormy seas, but that is classic Peter, jumping in and taking action. We might understand this move by Peter as fear-based. Remember, fear-based responses aren't good or bad in and of themselves. They are simply human. Regardless of whether you judge Peter's actions as good or bad, Jesus' response to Peter is noteworthy. Jesus indulges Peter's request. He invites Peter to come out onto the water with him, and for a moment, Peter succeeds. He walks on water too. Then he falters, and Jesus catches him. This is Jesus' response to Peter's fear. Jesus encourages us to take action, whether or not it's a perfectly good idea. Jesus hears our requests and honors our individual journeys, and Jesus catches us when we start to sink, when we get it wrong. When our fight, flee, or freeze response gets us into trouble, Jesus will be there to reach out and save us and gently remind us that we can trust in him. Once everyone's back in the boat, the winds die down and calm is restored. This is another response by the divine to our fearful moments. God offers us safe space to gather and to recenter. Jesus' own presence, available to us through all kinds of spiritual practices, promises to return us to stasis. Focusing on Jesus, as the disciples did when they worshiped him at the end of this story, has a centering effect. The seas and the disciples return to calm as the disciples declare, "Truly you are the Son of God." Worship serves as a method for addressing fear. So many of our spiritual practices, prayer and meditation, singing, communion, worship, and Bible study, have elements of proven techniques for returning our bodies and our minds to a state of calm. These practices engage our hearts and our minds in ways that move us beyond fear, towards peace, hope. So today's story of Jesus and Peter walking on those rocky seas serve to remind us that Jesus is the one, that Jesus is one with our great God. That Jesus is present with us in the midst of our fear. That Jesus offers us what we need when we're fearful. And that Jesus will save us when we're in over our heads. We can trust Jesus to do these things. We can trust God to be with us even in the most terrifying moments. Time and time again, our God has seen us through tough and scary times. It doesn't really matter if the threat is perceived or if it is real. Jesus meets us where we are in that fear. When we're drowning because our fear, Jesus helps us back into the boat, calms the seas. And when those seas are calmed, once our fears are relieved, we can look up, recognize the work of God in Jesus, and we can proclaim his identity with the disciples. Truly,